Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hourglass of Isabella. I'm joined tonight by the fabulous Michael Corvus.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And tonight, we're going to be discussing Facebook, specifically the decline and slow death thereof. And bear with me while I talk about this, because just recently it came out that Facebook had lost over 500,000 users for the first time in over a decade in a short span of time, which has never happened before in the platform's history. And Mark Zuckerberg claimed, or at least let's say he blamed TikTok for the reason that so many users are jumping ship and leaving the platform. And this, why I call this like a terminal kind of illness, is Facebook has actually been facing, pun intended, this problem for some time. Most of its users, well, let's just put it this way. It has actually lost the youth market. The younger users have left the platform, and previously it was platforms like Instagram, which as we now is now owned by Facebook, but they've still been having some loss as well. And of course, platforms like Snapchat. And more recently, the most popular one is TikTok. So Facebook has been facing this battle of how to try and keep the younger generation engaged when they're actively leaving the platform and going to other apps. So I was thinking about this earlier today because I don't know about you guys, but if you still use Facebook, and I use Facebook, I'll even be posting this on my Facebook page. It's like for me recently, and for some time now, it's become a very depressing chore. And by that, I mean I will log in, I mindlessly scroll. I don't know about you, Mike. Do you go first? You just scroll?
Right. I mean, I try and be fairly disciplined about Facebook, but on the odd chances I'm actually on there, I'll just kind of numbly scroll.
I've seen you do it. It's like you scroll through, right? And so you go through, and what do you encounter? You encounter adverts. Not like a few. It's like advert, and then post, and an advert after advert. And these are actually not just ads, these are video adverts catered to you through an algorithm. So let's say that, like, the other day, you know, my friend was having a baby shower, and I was on Chrome looking up baby diapers to buy for her thing, you know, like, so keyed into they looking at everything. You look at on Chrome, they'll then, the next day, you'll get this baby diapers for sale on Facebook, on the advert, and you're like, how are they looking at this stuff? How much do they know about you? Well, and the answer is pretty much everything.
Okay, so you touched on the loss of users, but as we all know, a few days ago they had one of the single largest market crash or stock crashes.
I didn't know about that. What was that? Tell me
they lost like $240 billion in a single day.
$1 billion?
Yeah, so it's like the largest single day drop I believe in history. I don't believe that. Right. But there are many reasons that you can opine why that happened. As you mentioned, users jumping over to different platforms.
And the question is, why are they doing that? And I know the answer. I don't think it's that hard.
Right. Oh well, no. Yeah, well, it's not hard to figure out. But you brought up them listening to your conversations or whatnot. So one of the things that they pointed out
are
is
they
ever
actually
since
doing that? Is that what's actually happening?
Yeah.
Or am I imagining it? Because it'll be like stuff I'll even look up or talk about in a conversation with you, and I'll talk about, I want to get my nails done. And it'll be like an advert for getting your nails done.
Right. Okay. So you and I are having two different experiences because I have an iPhone and you're on a
Android. So what's the difference?
So Apple has been kind of waging a little privacy war against platforms like Facebook and whatnot. So they're really trying to protect their users against all their information being parsed out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and marketers know this, and iPhone users typically have higher income, so they're a very highly sought after target demo. So the fact that Facebook can't reach them.
Demographic.
There we go. Yeah, the fact that Facebook can't reach them as easily is causing some people to have some shaky faith in the platform. That and the loss of users. That and every platform pretty much has its day in the sun, and
that's
then it starts to collapse.
I think it's more. I don't think it's just be annoying. And trust me, I think there's something very unhealthy about scrolling through Facebook for hours. Like, the only reason I go on there now is basically for old friends who are also just using that platform. It's the only way I can get in contact with them. So that's the only reason I go on there to check. I barely post much anymore about my personal life on there. When I'm on there, I will mindlessly scroll. I can catch myself scrolling through, and it's just like advert.
What am I doing? Why am I here?
Yeah, and most of the posts now, the sad things, most of the posts since the pandemic are really negative and really aggressive and angry, and there's a lot of hatred and anger on the platform as well, and those are things that get attention and likes, and it's that dopamine thing of, oh, how many people have liked my post? How many people have viewed my story? What kind of reactions have I gotten? And it fuels our brain. It's actually almost like a drug addiction. It's very similar. Like, it's a dopamine response. But I think that's incredibly unhealthy. And when I think about why, let's get back to the point, why these users are leaving the platform, is that you go to platforms like TikTok, and there's something more sweet about it. By that I mean, for most part, it's in its original inception of TikTok. And I was one of the people who actually used it early on, before it was super popular. In fact, it even had a previous name before it even became TikTok. And it was always about kind of cosplay and dressing up and putting on your costumes and listening to music and just fun. It was no negativity or bullying, and it was just kind of a nicer environment to be in some respects than the harshness of Facebook and what I think a lot of users experience on there. And the more that I experienced the two different platforms, in fact, when I early on when I used TikTok for other people did, a lot of people mocked me for it. They were like, why are you fucking using that stupid application? Blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I was like, I actually think it's a very nice app and I enjoy using it, you know. And I kind of had a feeling even then that it would do well. And that's why I think I was able to get so many followers on there, because I was there early on before it hit the crescendo when now everybody, because here's the thing, is these people now leaving Facebook, it's no longer the younger generation. Like, there are people now from every generation moving and now moving on to TikTok because people are bailing from Facebook as a social media platform.
So if you look at the Facebook, or basically any social media platform. Okay, so use MySpace.
Yeah, I was going to say, you remember the MySpace days?
Right, okay, so...
For the people, it's 18-plus podcasts, but for the people listening, which there are some 18-plus people...
Remember what CDs were? Anyway. Yeah.
So. But Facebook, can I give a quick lowdown of Facebook, and then I'll...
Sure, go right ahead.
So Facebook was this predating social media platform MySpace was prior to Facebook, and it was absolutely epic. I'm going to say this. I loved MySpace. It was like this place where, yeah, you kind of have a Facebook layout, but you can pick your own background. You can choose your own tunes and have music playing for your friends. You can customize your pictures to display them wherever you want. You can even learn a bit of code. Like, we as kids learned a lot of code on MySpace, and I really liked the platform. And it lost favor because Facebook, which was originally designed for university, it's basically how to keep check on your friends in university, took over and got rid of it. So it died, as many social media platforms do, as Facebook is now experiencing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Went back when, a million years ago, back around the whole time MySpace and Facebook were having their
the wild
changeover.
West of the internet days.
Back in the Pleistocene era, when dinosaurs roamed the land. So MySpace did allow you to customize your profile, your
Loved
page.
It.
You could pick your top 10. You could put dancing unicorns or
flashing
frogs,
pizzas on the back.
You know, anything you wanted to. And would somebody would come, you can move your navigation from the top to the bottom.
I loved it.
Like you said, you loved it. But the problem with that is it was an inconsistent user interface design. So no matter where you went, if you went to somebody else's page, the navigation might be up here, the navigation might be down here.
You must make everything uniform and boring for marketing. Yes,
Okay, so there's something to be said for design standards, okay?
What about individualism and creativity?
I'm all for individualism and creativity, but like with web standards, it's just a fact that people are going to tune out. Like if you went to a website and the navigation were all the way on the bottom right-hand side, you wouldn't find it immediately.
That's up to the individual individual user.
Well, it's up to the individual user, but there's such a thing, like when you go to the gas station, you expect your pump to be at this level, and it's going to be on work on either side of your car, et cetera, et cetera. So we're, as human beings, we're very comforted by things like familiarity.
Conformity. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the same thing. Indeed. The reason why if you go to McDonald's in San Jose, it's going to be the same as a McDonald's in Camden.
Yeah.
Okay. So and you can have your individual mom and pop shops.
Yeah.
Right. But those are going to be unique individual things. And most of these platforms are in the money, are in the business to generate revenue. So when you lose user interest, and then if you're MySpace, everyone can do whatever they want to. And then MySpace comes along where it's standardized. People naturally, no matter how individualistic they are going to migrate over there. So here we have a thing with Facebook and TikTok as far as the standards keeping up with the
TikTok's
time.
TikTok's pretty uniform as well. I will say
TikTok is uniform. TikTok is also short form video because times have changed. It's all
short attention span theater.
Right,
sandwiches.
Exactly. Sandwiches. So so Facebook hasn't exactly caught up with that. They did have stories since they took Instagram.
Instagram, they have Reels.
Reels, yeah.
Can we talk of... Okay. I had the best point there. And it's... You ever do that where you have this thing and you have this great idea and it comes into your head and you're like... This is going to be really a key component to this podcast, and then it just flies away. It might as well be a little window in your head, and the little door opens, and the thing flies out with a pair of wings. That is what I just experienced.
Well, it'll come back.
I'm sure it will.
But Reels, that's not really keeping up with TikTok.
Oh, here, I got it. Thank you. But you keyed in the memory. Wow, you're good.
You're welcome.
Okay, so what... This goes in, there may be some users on here who remember a little game known as Second Life. I was a huge fan of Linden Labs, which are the creators of Second Life. They are the folks who made it what it was, and it was, for its time, a fantastic virtual reality platform where you could go in, you had an avatar, you could dress it up, own an island, buy property with real money. There were people who were making millions of dollars, like Annie Chung in real life, from property development in the virtual space. So it was actually, for its time, very ahead of its time. I think a lot of people realized that, including Mark Zuckerberg. He's introduced this thing called the Metaverse, which was previously called Facebook, but renamed the Metaverse because they realized they have to do something different, and so we're in this strange time in history right now where things are actually changing. We're getting to watch history happening, which, I don't know about you, with the pandemic and all the movements and stuff and the riots last year, we are watching history in motion. It's strange to be in history, it's happening. And you and I were at the dawn of the internet, and what I loved about it early on is I felt like I was in the Wild West of the internet days. I would go on AOL, no, like ASL.
Yeah, age, sex, location.
Yeah. It was cool, it was hip. You know, the Google Chats, and you can have your different platforms and make your GeoCities sites. And it was good. Yeah.
You mentioned GeoCities.
Yeah, you know, and you can go on Kazaa and download your music before Pirate's Bay even was a thing. And all these things get your MP3s and a lot of viruses in the process. But it was like the Wild West of the internet days. Anyone could have a web page and people would actually come and visit your web page. It's like, imagine you would own an island. Rather than being in Facebook, which is what we perceive today, where everyone's herded into one area and have strict kind of rules, you each had your own island and there were no rules. You could really do whatever you wanted. And if people wanted to come visit your island, hey, oh, cool. If they didn't like it, whatever. Go to another island. No problems here. And that's kind of a formula that Facebook and, you know, should have, I believed, embraced, but Second Life did embrace. And then Second Life encountered something called OpenSim, which was honestly, if the Linden Labs folks are listening to me, they'd agree, that was the death of Second Life. The concept was of OpenSim, which was a good concept. They wanted to allow anyone to be able to create islands and platforms, whether you had a school or a library or online education stuff, you could make anything you liked in this virtual world. Now, it was right around the time they lost the interest of the market, and they didn't have it. Everyone was getting into mobile phones. getting into your phones, and they didn't have a phone application to support it. They needed it desperately. And we can have a whole podcast on virtual reality worlds for real. Like, IMVU, they have a functioning one that you can download as an application. Second Life should have gotten on top of that. They didn't quite catch the train in time, as it were. Now, Facebook is trying to do this metaverse thing because of the popularity of VR and virtual headsets, where they're trying to tap into that market because they know they can see that's the future.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I mean, you know, the Zuck has, you know, rolled the dice on things before.
And do you know what happened with it?
Well, yeah, I
can
think...
Can you tell the story of the metaverse?
No, not metaverse, but I was thinking about the...
I hear something cross the way. Now you can
Yeah. You can,
do you remember the story?
Oh, I do. You can tell that story.
They finally released the metaverse thing, right? And users are using it. And they're like, this is the future. What's that thing? NFTs? That's for big Tom Fisk.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. Now I'm going to sound dated in the future for talking about this.
Yeah, like,
you know,
NFTs,
the NFTs, they were trying to do this whole metaverse shell thing using that. But they created this metaverse, and immediately it was a shit show. Like, and again, this is an 18-plus podcast, so I have no problem telling this at this point. It was a literal shit show to the point where people were trying to grope other users, and it was so bad, Facebook had to implement a 4-foot bubble from yourself to any other user. So now, basically, nobody can interact with anyone or have any intimacy, including hugging or whatever. And when you think there's a pandemic and we're already operating in a 6-foot bubble already, it's suddenly like it lost its appeal and it's very lackluster. It was like the death of it in one day. So Facebook's now in this. I'm interested to see what they're going to do.
Well, okay, so Zuckerberg is betting heavily on VR and the metaverse and things of that nature. Which,
he's certainly not betting heavily on SW workers.
Right,
because he lost Arthur long ago in that world.
Yeah, well, okay, so
trying to post a bikini picture without it being flagged and removed.
Well,
you've got a midriff, you're a human being who's not naked but still sensually posed. Ban, 30-day ban, you're in Facebook jail. I have a whole podcast on that, if you're interested.
I remember, yeah. So you know, he's putting everything down on this, and might be right, might be wrong. Signs point to probably no, as far as a success on this. But who knows?
I remember
Tumblr. When they started like banning,
they were a safe haven. They were a safe haven for sensual images and stuff, and for SW workers to go in and use. And that was one of the charms of the platform. They made the biggest mistake of their lives. They decided, we're just going to ban all of this. Just like OnlyFans tried to go in and ban the people that helped create the platform.
And this gets down into a larger conversation of the life cycle of any platform, okay?
Yes.
So you start out as something new and shiny. You're going to draw a certain crowd of people, early adopters, people that will take the newfound freedom of this new platform, leverage it, become pioneers. Like you said, it's like the Wild West.
Yeah.
They'll become pioneers on this new platform, and then it'll become normalized. And then before you know it, people are selling real estate ads on it.
Can I tell you
whatnot.
How much something I do love?
What's
you talk
that?
About real estate. Like, I felt like back in the day I was a pioneer of, say, TikTok. And a lot of these applications, I can tell in advance when an application is going to do well or not. There were certain people on my feed, no names named, who actively used to make posts like, screw this, this isn't going to do well. Who would ever use this platform? And now those same people are using and have successful TikToks. I'm like, how fucking hypocritical is that?
Okay, so what this really gets down to, and I think I can distill a few of these points here, you'll have a new platform. People will migrate over to it. They'll appreciate the free range that they have to be able to do what they want to. They could be pioneers.
Yeah.
They could do the things. They can set up their own old camps. They can set up their mining colonies. They can set up their dry goods stores, Oregon Trail, whatever you want to do. And then the towns build up. And then it becomes static. And then you get to the point where it's like, Facebook. My parents are on Facebook. I don't want to use Facebook. Okay, and then they leave. They go on to the new thing. Also, the platforms themselves, when it's when you have the early adopters, when you have newer people coming in, it's a smaller crowd. But when you get more and more, I'm going to tell you what the problem is on all social media platforms. Okay? I'm going to go on record of saying this.
Okay.
You know what the problem with all social media platforms?
What is it? Tell me. I'm dying to know.
It's humanity. Okay? Because we get to a point where we hit maximum saturation. You have how many billion people on Facebook at this point? And then it really starts feeding upon itself to where it's only serving up the things that the broadest mass appeal,
and for whether advertisement it's, purposes,
For everything's revenue for this. So it's the things that is most salacious, the things that are going to be the most scandalous, the most jaw-dropping,
Okay, here's something always bothering me.
And then people get tired of it, and they start jumping ship, and they go to another platform. And it's people will migrate. I'm reminded of that quote from Matrix, where Agent Smith is talking to Morpheus. And he's saying, you know, human beings are not mammals. Mammals find an equilibrium, whereas human beings go to one place, use up all the natural resources, and then go someplace else. We're like a virus. So we're like a virus on social media, too, because we get to a certain boiling point where it just becomes garbage. It just becomes hatred.
And it is just hatred.
It becomes a platform where people are saying the nastiest, most terrible things, and then people want to get away from that.
There are like multiple accounts of like abuse going unchecked on Facebook to a point where it's not that they don't know about it. And in my case, when I went for a whole cancel culture moment, it was like horrific levels of, you know, you need to go die. I'm going to come kill you. Really extreme stuff. Horrific. You'd never, ever would hope. And I hope nobody listening to this ever has to go through that as an individual in your life. And they knew about it. So much did they know about it. They actively knew that I was suicidal based on the algorithm stuff. And they actually put me, and this is a fact, and if they're listening, this is a true statement. They put me on some bizarre fucking algorithm that is, I can only guess, designed for people that they can tell who have been harassed or bullied in the extreme by hundreds or thousands of people so they can check it out and see it. Where they stop showing you posts from your friends and stuff, so you don't have to see any of the negativity, which is still happening and swelling. Instead, they start showing you these quotes of, you know, why you should still be alive, why you shouldn't kill yourself. So they actively know you're suicidal, but they're not doing anything to prevent the cyberbullying or anything else that is actually happening to you.
No.
And I thought that was bizarre.
Right,
was
but don't dare show a midriff or, you know, God forbid, wear a bikini or anything.
But yeah, that was, you know,
and,
get banned for that.
If you think, not just Facebook. I mean, Facebook is part of the problem, but it's not the only one. I mean, Facebook, Google, if you were to ever sit in a shareholders meeting or a meeting where they're talking to their top 50 advertisers, they're telling them, plain spoken, the amount of information they can garner from things, okay? I mean, if you're on a laptop or if you're sitting on your desktop computer, you can tell by the motion of your hand, the interaction there, who's going to have Parkinson's disease in the next 5 years.
Is that true?
Okay, by how fast somebody is walking or the tone of your voice, whether you're ovulating or not, if you're in a good mood or not.
Well, okay. They also know that because if you look at, they actually use a camera, like look at your face. If you're smiling at an advertisement, they know you like it. And if you're frowning, then they take note of your facial expression. And use
how long you linger on something.
Right, where if you pause.
Yeah, we used to have things in user interface design where you'd have like a heat map where you could track where people's eyes went on a page, and that's where you would put your key content. And it's the same thing now that we have forward-facing cameras on our phones, and everyone just like clicks install.
I think every person is always scared when you open your phone that someone is looking at you through your camera. Mm-hmm. Such a scary concept.
It might not be a
right?
person, but it's definitely something that's
it's still
reading.
A scary concept. Like it's like we watched something and we had a little tape over the camera on the laptop.
Yeah.
But there are times where I feel like, almost want to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's unnerving. And we are getting to this whole thing of AI. And you and I should definitely have a topic on virtual reality and AI separate. Mm-hmm. From
yeah, two totally
two
different
valid
topics.
Separate topics, yeah.
But, you know, just so you know, for the record, you know, I used to be in the tech field, but I am not. I am by no means a subject matter expert. And I don't want to sound like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. By any stretch of the imagination, but a lot of the stuff is just pretty much
But can you not tell the death of an empire? Like, when the empire is falling, you kind of have a sense of it. You can, like,
yeah, I know.
Slowly, and it's a slow burn. It's not like a quick thing. I'm watching Facebook these days.
Well,
in fact,
it starts off slow, then it gets real quick right before the last few days.
Does it? Okay, well, that's that's good to know. I'll be curious to look back on this podcast in terms of history and actually see what happens.
Hey, you might prove us wrong. We might be the ones that are getting the chuckles. Ha ha, you thought Metaverse was going to go down, but now Meta is all. Welcome to the Meta City.
Which is, someone had the meme of how it becomes a Matrix. You saw that? So that's interesting. You can never predict the future, and I love that. That's what I love about history. It's so unpredictable, and it's fascinating unto itself. But yeah, no, I definitely appreciated talking about this topic. I do think it's close to home, because I've had moments where I'm like, you know what? I think I'm done with Facebook as a platform.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't bring me any joy anymore on a personal level.
I was going to say, it's not bringing any joy, is it?
It's bringing a lot of, you know, sadness and fear and anxiety. That's one thing. And I go there mostly just to check in on my friends is the main reason. And I don't want to lose contact my friends. And I realize there's always phone numbers or separate ways to do it. And if someone really wants to find you, they'll find you. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the important thing about real friendship. We go for this thing on Facebook and we add sometimes thousands of people, strangers, and they aren't really your friends. Yeah. You know, they're just pictures and icons, and they're not really interacting.
They're avatars.
They're avatars. NPCs almost, right? They're not really interacting with stuff.
I mean, and some of those, you can have genuine friendships.
Yeah, if you take the time and effort to know them.
Right, but real friendship is different.
For the most part, they're not. And for the people who are your friends, if you say, hey, look, you know, I'm making a decision to break from Facebook, if they want to find you, they will. I think that's the important closure on this. If you're maybe using Facebook and you're in my position where you're like, I'm afraid to leave a platform because all of my connections or my business stuff or whatever, if people really want to know who you are and find you, they'll find you. And if they don't, maybe they weren't your friends in the first place.
It's an opportunity to have authentic friendships. Okay, quality over quantity.
Yes. That's very accurate. I like that a lot. Mm. So for our next podcast, do you want to do virtual reality?
Let's do virtual reality.
Because we want to talk about Replica. There's this great app out. So that's like teaser in this.
Well, let me check with my Replica and see what she says. And
yeah,
I'll let you know.
Right, so. I love that. Okay, so without further ado, we really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this. As always, we're sorry, I want to put in the apology that we have not been doing as many podcasts as I previously would do. You know, our active plan now, if I'm correct, Michael, is that we are going to actively make more podcasts. That's a plan, right?
Yes, at least a couple every week.
If you have any, I'm going to post this, and this will be on Facebook as well, by the way. If you have any ideas for podcast topics or things you would genuinely like to hear us speak about, we're always open and willing to listen to that. So let us know what you're interested in, and we'll check it out. Without further ado, take care and good night.